We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Okay, I asked folks, Lee, to tell me about their crazy family member, because every family's got one.
Yeah.
Stark raving mad. I'm talking the kind of person, I have one in my family. I'm talking about the kind of person who, if you wrote a screenplay, like for a sitcom or something, like, or, you know, you wrote a script for a sitcom, it'd get turned down because people be like, that character's not believable.
If you ask my kids, I'm the one in the family. That's,
is it you?
Yes, it's probably me.
It's you?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah,
I'm surprised.
So.
You seem so reasonable and rational.
Oh, I have my moments.
Until that computer in there breaks.
Well, there is that, which is a frequent event.
I know. Okay, here's my favorite tuck so far. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
I'm the baby out of seven and the only one that has not served federal time.
Wow.
Four sisters and two brothers. So I texted back. I said, LOL, please tell me, what did they serve time for? I'm still waiting.
Well, so you had so many usual suspects to blame for your crimes.
Right.
So,
love to do a genetic analysis of that family. Wow. Texter writes, it should be harder to vote than it is to purchase and legally carry a gun. Amen to that.
Yeah.
In fact, the founding fathers made it that way.
Yeah. Voting is far more dangerous.
You used to have to own land.
Yeah, exactly.
To vote.
Mm-hmm.
Be a tax-paying American.
And senators used to be chosen by the state legislatures.
I know. Because they only trusted the darn fool voters to select one house.
Well, they only selected. Well, they also wanted people who really had a stake, skin in the game, so to speak. And those who pay taxes are the ones that have the skin in the game. And, you know, that's just the way it used to be.
Yeah.
It's the way the original Constitution read.
Texter writes, my sister Pia, yes, we're Italian. When I was of age, we'd go to clubs or bars. She'd get to drinking, and then she would stand up on the tables and throw empty glasses at the wall. Lots of fun to be around and great person to hurt. I hear that, but who had to clean up the glasses and how did they take that?
Well, at least they were empty.
Yeah, really, right?
Is that Texter's last name, Zadora?
I don't know. I'll text him
back.
That's
the last time I've heard Pia, which is a nice name.
But. Yeah, it's interesting. All right, on to the serious stuff. Lee, the socialists are mounting a takeover of New York City. It's not armed yet.
Okay.
Yes.
That we know of.
That we know of, yes. So they are, this is a serious thing. They are, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has lent her name to it. The Democrat Socialist of America are mounting a takeover of New York City. They are putting up and backing a slate of city council candidates who, if elected, would create a socialist caucus and run New York as a socialist city. One of their litmus tests for whether you get their support is your willingness to defund the NYPD. You must be willing to cut at least half the budget.
Okay. Well.
So they succeed at this. Go ahead and cross New York off your vacation destination list. It will be way too dangerous to go there.
You know, quite honestly, if the socialists want to take care of it, fine. You guys go ahead. We'll just eliminate that from any financial responsibility for the rest of the federal government for that area and, you know, have at it.
Meanwhile, I'm waiting for them to get canceled here. That study done by the U.S. Crisis Monitor. It's a joint project of the Armed Conflict Location and Event Data Project and Bridging Divides Initiative at Princeton University. So it comes from Princeton. Remember the Princeton study that found 570 violent riots by Black Lives Matter over just 3 months?
Yeah.
Now, there were 2,200 peaceful protests. And I think that's why they did the study, was to prove the group was mostly peaceful, right? And, you know, 2,200, it's a lot. It's a lot of peaceful protests. Sure. But so is 570 violent ones in 3 months.
Yeah. About a fifth or a quarter there. Yeah.
Yeah, but I see. I don't even look at it as what percentage it is of the total protest. 570 violent protests is all I need to know. I don't care how many peaceful ones you had.
Yeah.
That's like saying, well, we only burnt down, you know, 13 of the 75 cities that we visited. So we're peaceful.
Yeah.
What? No, wait. No, what? No, you burnt 13 cities. Well, yeah, but look at the other ones we didn't burn. No, no, what? No. And but I think this largely backfired on them. Anyway, they've issued a update of this that goes through September 10th, September 12th. Listen to this. The U.S. has experienced 637 riots between May 26th and September 12th. And they defined riot as involving violence against people or property.
Yeah, that's generally how riots are defined.
But we have to define them these days because it's a very touchy subject.
Yeah.
49 states, not counting Washington, D.C., experienced riots during that time period, the study found. California led the nation with 86 riots, followed closely by Oregon with 79. So this is a real thing. It has real violence associated with it. What's interesting to me about this is that they are only looking at Black Lives Matter. They are not looking at Antifa. These are Black Lives Matter riots. Violent Black Lives Matter riots. And I'm here to say, I am not convinced that these people represent Black people. I'm not. I mean, we have another study out today on Blue Lives Matter laws and wanting to criminalize hate crimes against police. 52% of Black people support it.
Well, now back up just a moment, though. Many of these riots, in fact, a lot of times when you see the folks that are arrested at
these,
they're white folks.
I mean, know.
Good grief. I mean, I don't agree with Congressman Clyburn claiming that they're actually, you know, Russians or white supremacists who are, you know, pretending to be Black Lives Matter activists. But generally, when you see a lot of the folks that are arrested, I mean, even here in Greenville, some of the ones that were arrested recently, most of them were white.
And you've seen
So how is this racial?
If you end up in the Twitter gutter like I do all the time, I just get sucked into it and I can't help it.
I hate that for you. You must shower often.
I do. I feel so dirty. But no, a lot of these videos that are tagged like Black Lives Matter, do you know what they are? They are white activists in the streets screaming at Black police officers.
Mm-hmm.
Calling them like every racist word in the book.
That makes a whole lot of sense.
Total sense. Nothing in this country
makes
sense.
There's your radical
anymore.
Logic, yeah.
Nothing makes any sense anymore. So much of this just does not make sense in this country. And so, I mean, this is the problem with the NFL pretending they're supporting Black Lives when they're supporting Black Lives Matter and putting that propaganda all over, you know, their helmets and their shirts and all of that kind of stuff. I mean, people forget to ask Black people, well, what do you support? I mean, 52% of Black likely voters, according to Rasmussen, support Blue Lives Matter laws. I mean, I don't even accept the idea that Black Lives Matter speaks for Black people. I'm not convinced of that yet. I think Black Lives Matter is a bunch of white people and a token smattering of Black people trying to bring in Marxism. Oh, by the way, did you see Black Lives Matter has finally deleted the part of their website that explains that their goal is to remove men from the nuclear family and destroy the nuclear family?
Wow. Well, maybe they're coming around.
Yeah, well, no, I think they've discovered this is a problem for them. What that has to do with Black Lives, by the way, I have absolutely no idea. It's because they don't care about Black Lives. They're Marxists.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
And now on the line with us is South Carolina Attorney General Alan Wilson. Hey, Alan Wilson. Good morning.
Hello, Terry Servatius. How are you?
I'm doing great. So What do you, we got this little Supreme Court nomination thing going on. What do you think about all this?
Well, listen, since the election day started a month early around the country, I guess the October surprise started a month earlier in this election cycle. It's crazy. Listen, this is unbelievable times we live in. But what is interesting to me is seeing how the National Democratic Party and the far left have taken such radical positions on the president wanting to exercise what he's authorized to do under the Constitution. Dan McLaughlin in the National Review actually wrote a really good article about this. And of the 44 men who have occupied the White House, 22 have had a Supreme Court vacancy in the last year of their presidency. Every single one of those 22 presidents has filled that vacancy. And of those 22 presidents that availed themselves of the right to fill that vacancy, there have been 29 vacancies. And the 29 vacancies involved 19 where the president and the Senate were controlled by the same party, such as it is with the Republicans right now. And in 10 of those occasions, it was a president was of one party and the Senate was of the other party, such as it was during President Obama's term. And when it was of the same party, 17 of those 19 vacancies were filled, 9 before the election and 8 after the election was held during a lame duck session in Congress. In fact, In our history books, there were 3 occasions when the president lost and the member of the appointee was confirmed by a lame duck Senate. So there is extreme historical precedent for this. And Tara, I'll say one other thing. The Democrats are talking about how this is unprecedented, which I just disproved. But they're also talking about taking extreme constitutional measures, or I should say burning down the Constitution. And there is one simple rule for how a Supreme Court justice is nominated and confirmed. Article 2, Section 2 of the U.S. Constitution says the president shall nominate and with the advice and consent of the Senate shall appoint a member to the Supreme Court. In 2016, President Obama did exercise his constitutional right to make a nomination, and the Republican Senate availed itself of its right to withhold its consent. Here you have a president and the Senate of the same party, and they're both exercising their constitutional duties and obligations. It's actually very consistent.
I want to ask you about something. We talk a lot. I think we have a runaway left-wing judiciary in this country that's making laws from the bench, increasingly making laws from the bench. They've stolen a lot of President Trump's presidency, I think, knowing they can slow him down with their rulings that they know aren't constitutional, and they always get overturned. I call it a judicial dictatorship. And now I think they're helping to steal the election. This is my theory. Let me just give you an example of what I'm talking about so you can react to it. This has all been within the last week. Instead of changing election laws, right, to say, hey, we're going to just count ballots, 14 days after the election, judges are just arbitrarily ruling these things. Like, for instance, in Wisconsin, we just had a judge rule that, you can keep counting absentee ballots for an extra week if you want. Well, that's not what Wisconsin law says. And now we've had Michigan judge. This is absolutely outrageous. I said yesterday, if this stays on the books or if this stays the way it is and it's not overturned, I mean, we just lost Michigan. A Michigan judge on Friday said the state must accept ballots that arrive up to 14 days late after the November 3rd election. Again, that's not what the law says in Michigan. That's what the judge says. Then the Pennsylvania Supreme Court decided that they would be accepting ballots up to 3 days after the election. So I wanted to get your comments on that. I mean, these judges doing this, it should be up to legislatures, in my opinion, to change these laws. If they want to change them, fine. But I think these judges are helping the Democrats to create conditions that will allow massive ballot fraud in really close states that we won by less than a point or, tens of thousands of votes. That's it. Well, can you comment on that?
Well, to paraphrase Rahm Emanuel, President Obama's former chief of staff, never let a crisis go to waste. And this pandemic has created a crisis, at least and for many on the left, it's created a crisis that they don't want to go to waste. They're using this to usher in a radical agenda under the guise of protecting people's rights to vote. They're doing everything they can to weight the election in one particular way. And it's clearly evident that you have members of the court in various states and in the federal court who had their fingers on the scales of justice to basically force a predictable outcome. And this is why this is so important. This is why the race, the United States Senate race here in South Carolina, is so important. Senator Lindsey Graham is having tens of millions of dollars thrown at him in the last several weeks, and it's going to only get worse. And I know there are a lot of folks in the upstate. I've talked to some who in the past have been upset with Senator Graham. But this is why, you know, Martha McSally's race in Arizona and Lindsey Graham's race here. And you know, you have Cory Gardner in Colorado and others. These races are so vitally important. And if we can't win the Senate, if we can't send Lindsey Graham back to the Senate, then it doesn't matter if President Trump is reelected, because he's going to have a Democratic Senate and he's not going to be able to get his agenda passed through. And that's why it's so important that we get behind Senator Graham and other members of the federal delegation up for re-election this year.
We're talking to South Carolina Attorney General Alan Wilson. What do you think about the idea of just turning the Supreme Court into a democracy? We'll just go ahead and pack it every time the Democrats are in control of the Senate and, you know, the Senate, the House, and the presidency, and they'll just answer to Congress. That's the way the Supreme Court was supposed to work, right?
Well, it's become a super legislature to many on the left. And again, it's not about interpreting the Constitution. It's about writing laws by members of the court when you can't get it done through the members of the elected branch of government, which is the legislature. And so that is why, like I said, elections have consequences. That is why we have got to keep the Senate. That is why we have got to send President Trump back. Because if you think it's bad now, which you just talked about a minute ago, Tara, what all these judges are doing around the country, if we lose the Senate and the presidency, it's going to be that times 10. Look at what they're talking about doing. If Biden and what Schumer and Biden said, if they win, they're going to put Puerto Rico in as a state. They're going to put Washington, D.C. in as a state. That's four extra U.S. liberal U.S. senators. They're going to do away with the Electoral College. They're going to implement the Green New Deal. Other radical changes are coming. I'm telling you right now, this is the election of a lifetime, and that is why we have got to get Donald Trump reelected. It's honestly why we need to get behind it. Listen, if you got $5 sitting in your coffee can at the house, send it to lindseygraham.com. And again, I talked to Senator Graham last night, and I mean, I'm telling you right now, I think the Act Blue has raised over $100 million since Ruth Bader Ginsburg's passing last Friday. So this is very important. We have got to win this election. It will have dire consequences if we don't.
Absolutely. Amen, Alan Wilson. I'm just so afraid it's going to be stolen from us by these, you know, counting methods that we've never used before. I mean, here, let me just give you another example. I mean, this is outrageous. One of the things that they're going to allow, the court just ruled, waved a magic wand. This was not a piece of legislation, that they're going to allow ballot harvesting in Michigan. And that used to be illegal in this country. You had to turn your own ballot in. Not anymore. Somebody could show up with a whole box of ballots. God knows where they came from. Bill Barr even said, hey, the Chinese could print ballots if they want to. He's not suggesting they will, but he's saying they could. And he's not wrong about that. Now we're going to have ballot harvesting in Michigan, which means somebody could show up with a batch of hundreds and hundreds of ballots and they'd have to count them. God knows where they came from. I mean, this is, and again, this is not legislatures changing rules. This is judges changing rules.
Again, you're absolutely right. And I would like to just put you on a loop right now and replay this all day long. What people need to understand is what is at stake here. Elections have consequences, and the types of things that the far left, and listen, I have a lot of Democratic friends, we disagree on policy, but they're good, honorable people. And I don't mean to disparage an entire group of people, but those on the far left, they have an agenda and it's power. And if they can win this election cycle, if they can take the Senate and keep the House and take Donald Trump out, they're going to put more judges in that are going to either turn a blind eye to the very things you're talking about or going to ratify that legislation by supporting it through court decisions in the future. This is why all of the things you're talking about that could be, we have to make a stand now. And that is why we have to go out and vote. We have to send money in to these candidates. We have to get them across the line. So whether you're Congressman Timmons or Congressman Duncan, Congressman Wilson or Senator Graham, or whoever you're supporting, you need to get out there and put in a yard sign, put on a bumper sticker, get 10 friends, get 100 friends to vote, send in $10. They need the money. They need it desperately because this is going to be $100 million U.S. Senate race in South Carolina. That is what's at stake here.
That's incredible.
It's incredible. I've never heard this before in my life.
It's incredible. Also because our Senate hangs on a razor's edge, really. I mean, it's, you know, 53-47. So it's a mess. This is going to be the craziest election year ever. Any other final thoughts, Alan Wilson?
No, but listen, Tara, I really appreciate what you do up there. You are a voice for so many people who are watching on the sidelines, and really people like you can really make a difference by telling the truth, spreading the word, and getting people fired up, because people matter. The elections matter. And if we don't participate in this election, we could lose it all. So thank you for doing what you do. That's why I love coming on your show. I support you 100%. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Alan Wilson, and I appreciate you stopping by this morning on 106.3 WORD. What's this mean? Love to know. Send me a text on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line 71307. What's this mean? Ammunition sales surge 139%. That's according to the National Shooting Sports Foundation. Ammo sales up 139% the first 6 months of 2020 compared to sales during the first 6 months of 2019. Now, this is interesting. Keep in mind the George Floyd fiasco, which would terrify so many after their cities were, parts of their cities anyway, burnt to the ground, wouldn't occur to May 26th. May is the fifth month of the year. It's almost June, almost 6 months in. So this is not necessarily a violence-driven thing. What do people know? What are they worried about? What do they see? Why do they want ammo and guns like they do? That's on top of 5 million first-time gun owners between January and August of this year. I just wonder what the mentality is here. And we know with the 5 million, and there have been a lot more guns bought than that, but we know with those 5 million new first-time gun owner purchases, 58% were black, majority were women. Fascinating. I am waiting for somebody to pull this. Why? Obviously, there's fear there, right? There is fear of someone or something. Is it police officers? Is it because of the media's coverage? Did people think? I mean, you got Joe Biden and Kamala Harris running around telling you, you're in danger if you're black if you leave your house. Because 9 unarmed black people total in 2019 were killed by police, 6 of whom were resisting arrest at the time. 9. That breaks down to like one, less than one per state, because we have 50 states. But that is the biggest thing you have to fear. So I don't know if that black people are listening to that from the media, systemic racism, thinking they need guns, or if it's because the streets are literally out of control where they live, because a lot of black people live in blue cities and blue areas. I don't know. What's it going to translate to? Again, I don't know. I would love to hear from you, though. What do you think? 800-347-1063, text line 71307. Just another one of the interesting stats this morning that we have rolling around. By the way, did you see this? Do you know something, by the way? I have always resisted this idea of, well, the people at the top of the FBI are bad, but the people underneath them are totally good. No, they're totally great. You'll love them. Well, how do you know? You don't know. Well, no, but I don't want to malign them. Okay, but you don't know. I mean, then the people at the top, aren't they the ones hiring the people below them? And this sort of defies belief that really bad people at the top who've been pushed out and some of whom are still there at the FBI would want to hire really good people to work around. You know, the kind who might blow the whistle on them. I wouldn't want that kind of person at the FBI if I was a really bad person, would you? So we broomed a whole generation of really bad people at the top of the FBI, and it still seems really bad. Like this. We finally have an FBI agent who's gone whistleblower. Been waiting for one of these. Takes a lot of courage. It really does. They will wreck you. A true American whistleblower, someone who actually takes on the corruption of the deep state instead of just pretends to. Well, when I was a kid, whistleblowers against the regime came here from Russia. Now they go from here to Russia to escape our deep state. Did a whole podcast on that with Edward Snowden, by the way. His name's John Robertson. He was the FBI agent who investigated crimes against children, which brought him into the orbit of the pedophile Anthony Weiner, married to Huma Abedin, Hillary Clinton's personal assistant. So he's got the sticky laptop of Mr. Weiner. Well, that was an awkward sentence, wasn't it? He's got the sticky laptop of Mr. Weiner. And he discovers something he can't believe is on it. I mean, aside from the partially naked photos of underage girls. By the way, Weiner is a former Democrat congressman. I should add that. Anyway, he discovers Hillary Clinton's emails. Thousands of them. Now, the kind of weird thing about those emails was that at the time, they were under subpoena by Congress. Yeah. You know, subpoenas, they used to mean something, but The FBI ignores them now. Yeah. And so he told his higher-ups at the FBI, hey, I found Hillary Zemos. I got Hillary Zemos. She said they were deleted, but they're not. I got them. You want them? No. Oh, come on. You know you want them. You said you wanted them. No. Remember when Comey came out right before the election and said, oh, you know what? We did find some Hillary emails on that sticky wiener laptop. But, yeah, we were able to go through those real fast and using a computer program. We didn't find anything there. Just nothing to see here. Let's get on with the election. The new whistleblower. By the way, have you noticed the media is not calling this guy a whistleblower to the extent that they're covering him at all? It's mostly our media is covering him, which is how you know what he's got here is a big deal on the corruption. He says they didn't investigate all the emails. Hillary's illegally sent emails that were illegally stored because they have classified information on them. Yeah. He says it's worse than that. FBI leadership told him to erase everything he had. Erase it? Really? Those are crimes. Each one of those that was sent on that laptop's a felony. You got to send that inside a skiff. You can't just send it. You can't do that. But they did. See, I'm convinced what happened here. I don't think this was an accident. I don't think that the emails were just sent to the Wiener laptop by Huma because she wanted to print them off, because that doesn't make any sense. Huma lives hours away from Hillary in New York. You would not print them off at home and then drive them to her house hours away. That makes no sense. If anything, you'd print them at her house. If you printed them at all. I think that Huma, being as she is with the Muslim Brotherhood, a recognized terror organization in multiple countries, including Egypt, I think the emails that had classified info on them were sent to Huma's account on purpose so that other people could then access Huma's account. I think that's why they were on the Wiener laptop. Remember, she kept them in basically a Yahoo account? Well, what happens if you got a Yahoo account? What happens if you got an Outlook account? I can give anybody the passwords of my account, right? And they go right in. Is it me or is it them? Who knows? That's what they were doing on the laptop. And I think that was how Hillary passed on classified information that she sold or bartered to other foreign entities. I am still convinced of it. John Robertson's asking those questions. He thinks it's awfully weird that FBI leadership told him to erase all of the evidence of Hillary's emails. Keep in mind, each one of them being sent by somebody with a classified clearance is a felony. So what do we have here? We have the FBI conspiring with a criminal or set of criminals to destroy evidence while they bury people whose politics they don't like. They are a thug organization. They are an arm of the Democrat Party and a rogue agency. And that couldn't be clearer day after day as we get these revelations. Anyway, I wonder where this guy's going to have to. They'll put him in prison. Wonder if Russia will take him. Think Russia? I wouldn't go to China. I don't know if I'd want to go to Russia either. They poison you and push you out of windows. But it sure is better than here if you've defied the deep state, I guess. They have no idea what they're talking about. But they're coming for Halloween. They are the CDC. This is just cruel. You know what's the purpose of this? There's no medicine in this. There's no science. No. This is so that Democrats can go on television and blame Trump for your children missing Halloween. And you'll have to tell your poor children that they're going to have to miss Halloween and everyone will blame Trump. And you'll be really, really, really mad. Don't take Halloween from your kids. This is absolutely crockalicious from the CDC. As usual, based on not a shred of science or evidence, they just say stuff. Trick-or-treating discouraged by the CDC this year. Yes, if you're a good American, you will not take your child trick-or-treating. Door-to-door trick-or-treating is discouraged this year due to the pandemic. Many traditional Halloween activities can be high risk for spreading viruses, the agency said in its posting. Okay, this is the same agency that says okay for kids to go back to school? Do I have that right? Yeah, I got that right. The same agency that said it'd be okay for kids to go back to school. The same agency that says kids under the age of second grade potentially, depending on the spread level, and their communities don't even have to wear masks to school. What do you wear on Halloween? Anybody know? A lot of times, not always. A mask. Okay, so let me understand. Based on what science, they don't say, it's okay for kids to go to school. In fact, kids should go to school, but kids should not go trick-or-treating after school. Let me ask you a question. Trick-or-treating, where does it mostly take place for the most part? I mean, you don't let kids in your house unless you really know them. No, it's outside. Do we go to school outside? No. Do we generally wear masks outside? I mean, if we're not insane. No. Why? We don't need them. It's outside. So why can't we go trick-or-treating? I don't know. They don't say. They just rule it with an iron fist. So the thing, so the Halloween shaming will begin. Texter writes, this is a great text too. In regards to Halloween, like the stay-at-home orders, Halloween is a test. If we listen, they are coming for Christmas because that is a celebration of a religion and the radical left can't have that. Yeah, no, I think to come for Thanksgiving too. Folks, this is not hard, okay? It's not hard. A lot of people do this anyway. You put the candy in a bucket in front of the house. You don't have to have any interaction with kids. It's so stupid. I mean, we don't answer the door anyway for Halloween because, I mean, neither of us could ever figure out who'd be the one who'd stay home because we just love watching the kids scream and yell and run door to door. It's just fun. So we just leave the candy out, you know, honor system. A lot of my neighbors do that because they want to go with their kids. They don't want to stay home. So just leave it in a bucket. No. Why are they doing this, folks? What is this about? No science offered whatsoever. No studies. No, because they don't know. They just make it up as they go. This is political. Create misery. Blame Trump. Oh, Johnny can't go trick-or-treating because of Trump. No, Johnny can't go trick-or-treating because of the jerks at the CDC. You know what's going to happen? Wait for this. This is going to be all over the country. I can't wait for the coverage of Halloween. You're going to have neighborhood association busybody do-gooders banning trick-or-treating in neighborhoods, crying children, people blaming Trump. It's ridiculous. Based on no science, folks, none. Zip, zilch, zero.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.